And welcome to another Caveman's Corner. It's just me today with Out Ray, and we're going to give Anthony Ford a call. Anthony Ford is a high-level Muay Thai fighter, world champion. We're going to give him a call right now, and we're going to see how he's doing. He's also coming to Western New York MMA for a huge seminar, so make sure you check it out. Hello, Anthony.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good, dude. How you doing?
Good. You're on Caveman's Corner. You're with Jeff Captain Caveman Dens, and we're on a show. Ray's not here because he's fighting in a couple days, so it's been hard to get you on, but we finally got you, man. What's going on with you?
Oh, man. Just training and right wheel is liking, man. It's not all that interesting. It's just a lot of waking up and punching stuff and going to bed and eating good and trying to not be a fat ass.
Hell yeah, dude. You're fighting out of Muay Thai Niagara in Canada. You're really close to the border. You're going to come over and give a seminar at Western New York MMA next week. Can you give us a little rundown on what's going to go on there?
Yeah, so I've been down a few times. I usually come down all the time, actually. Pursue Martial Arts kind of like got taken over by Western New York MMA. I don't know all the exact details, but I just know, like, your guys' gyms are now kind of one.
For sure.
And which is awesome. That's super cool. They needed some more guidance and all that other stuff, so I think that's really cool. But we used to go down to Pursue all the time and teach classes and do seminars and that kind of stuff. So they're going to be bringing me down again. So we're going to be at the Williamsville location. Yeah, man. So there'll be a lot of, like, classic Muay Thai technique. A lot of it's going to be like, you know, kind of the stuff that kind of separates like Muay Thai from kickboxing. So we're going to be doing a lot of like, you know, clinch work and a lot of elbows and knees and talking about how to like get some more power in your kicks. And those of the listeners that have already been to one of my seminars, you know that there's going to be a lot of catching and sweeping and that kind of wonderful stuff. So,
Sounds like a great day. What day is the seminar and what time is it?
It's Friday the 29th, and I think it's 7:00.
Awesome. It's next week. Make sure you guys check it out. I will be there, so you'll see me. We'll actually get to meet face to face, and you probably get to kick my legs out.
Yeah, all part of the good fun, man.
Hell yeah, that's what I get for making you wait. I tried to have you on a couple weeks ago. I had some technical difficulties, and man, it's just been snowballing. But we got you on finally. And not only are you doing a seminar, you're also fighting for a world title in Thailand in August. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, man. So I'm already like a 5-time world champion, but like, I don't know, for lack of a better term, there's world titles, and then there are world titles, right?
For sure.
And, like, you know, like when you watch boxing, for example, and you're like, oh, well, I'm an IBO, or I'm an IBF, or WBO, or WBC champion, they're all world champions, but it's kind of like a progression building up into the big one, right?
For sure.
And so basically, like, over my years of fighting and all over the world and everything, I finally got, in the last, like, couple of years, I got ranked by the WBC, which is the biggest name in boxing, but it's also the biggest in Muay Thai as well. And so I got ranked. I started off, like, I remember I had a fight. And I had a guy call me up, and he's like, oh, hey, man, did you see the rankings? And I was like, no. And he sent me a screenshot of it, and I was like, dude, that's awesome, right? And, like, I can't even tell you, like, how much blood I lost and how many, like, pints and pints of blood I've lost and spilled to get on that stupid list, right?
For sure.
And I had a bunch of more fights, and then all of a sudden I started, like, inching my way up the rankings. And then I finally got to a place where, like, I was ranked, like, in the top 5 in the world. We did some negotiating with the WBC, and I finally, like, got myself in a place where I could challenge for a world title. And that's what I did. I like submitted my stuff and, you know, called out my guy and away we go, right? So I'm going to be fighting Manuan Sisong Pinong.
Those are Thai names to pronounce, man. Have you fought in Thailand before?
Yeah, man. I've lived in Thailand. I've fought there quite a bit. I just fought for a world title in Thailand just in December. Yeah, man, it's just kind of what I do. I spend a lot of time there, and so, you know, I've spent a lot of time fighting Thais, and, you know, it is what it is. It's just normal to me now. It's not like, you know, it's not something that's crazy for me. Like, to me, it's just, I don't know, I guess for lack of a better term, it's another day at the office. So, you know, Manuan, though, he's a special guy. He's definitely the biggest name I've ever fought. You know, he's in that big boy category, right? And that's kind of what I want. That's like where I'm trying to go, and I want to see if I belong with the big fish. And this is my opportunity to show that I can hang with the best in the world, and that I'm as elite as everybody else. And Manuan was a Lumpini Stadium champion. He was a Roger Unum Stadium champion. He was the 147-pound WBC world champion, and he's moving up to 154 pounds. And you know, so like he's a big deal. He's a big name. He comes from a very reputable gym, Sisong Pyeong. So like, if you watch Glory, for example, like one of the Glory champions, you know, Sitachai Sisong Pyeong, you know, like these are training partners of his. Like he's, you know, he's a big deal. So I'm excited to get in there and, you know, have a little bit of a tear up. I'm definitely going to be the bigger guy. You know, I've got a lot of size and a lot of reach on him. So I hope that kind of plays into my strategy, and hopefully I can hit him harder and keep away from him and do the damage and, you know, cut his face open with an elbow and whatever else.
All right, well, you're on Caveman's Corner, so I got to throw you on the bus a little bit. I've seen that you had a little bit of a hard time making weight a couple of times. Are you going to be able to make weight pretty easily? You have to go to another country. How is it like going to Thailand and trying to cut weight and then fight?
So I gotta tell you, like, so here's the thing, right? You know, you hear a lot about people missing weight and all this other stuff, right? So I've had 120 professional fights.
Damn.
Right? All right? And I fight a lot, right? So, for example, all right, I had a fight in November where I missed weight. Okay?
Right.
Now, since that fight, I've had 7 fights, right?
Okay.
So, I fight so often and in so many different weight classes that I literally fight anywhere from 154 pounds all the way to 175 pounds. And I walk around pretty big as well, right? So it's one of those things where missing weight every once in a while, it's just something that, you know, when you fight as often as I do, sometimes it happens, right? And, you know, this last one, when I missed weight, it was a water loading issue. You know, like I got to a point where I literally couldn't lose any more water weight. Like I couldn't. And, but then 3 weeks later, I fought in Thailand 7 pounds lighter than I was that night.
So the weight itself is not an issue for you. It was just that one weigh-in, making that weight. Because yeah, I looked at your record and I see a lot of your fights at heavier weights. So I didn't realize actually how often you fight. Can you tell the listeners how often you fight? How many times do you make weight a year, would you say?
Oh, geez. Maybe 12 times a year, at least.
So that means...
On average, I have between 10 and 15 fights a year.
Right, so the guys that are making weight twice a year, 3 times a year, fighting 3 times a year, are in a totally different category than you, say.
Oh yeah, way different. It's like you can't even compare the two because it's like you're up and all over the place. Like these guys that are fighting like MMA fights, for example.
Right. That's
and they only fight, and they only fight twice a year, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And you're like. And you're like, dude, like, how are you not making weight? You had 9 months to make weight. You know? It's totally different. Like, for example, like, so I fought for a world title on December 27th in Thailand. And then 3 days later, I fought in Cambodia.
Damn.
After taking a 24-hour bus ride.
And you didn't even fly. That's rough.
All right. So it's like one of those things where it's like, you know, when I hear these guys like complaining about different things, I'm like, I don't even know how to like compute that shit. And then even after that, look, I fought in Cambodia and then I came back and a week later I fought back in Thailand again.
That's crazy.
All right. So it's like, it's one of those things where like, we have like a really distorted view of things in North America sometimes because we don't fight that often, and we hear, you know, like, all this stuff from different people, and, like, we get all of our information from, like, guys that are fighting in the UFC, or they're fighting, you know, in these big WB, you know, HBO, you know, boxing events, and all this other stuff, but when you go and you fight in countries like Thailand, where you're fighting once a week, or once every other week, like, it's not... Like, it just doesn't work the same way all the time.
Definitely. How is it fighting over there as a white guy? Is it different? I know they have, like, a term, Farouk, is it? How do you say it?
Farong.
Farong. How is it being Farong fighting in Thailand?
Dude, man, you know what? I've been there so long, so many times, that, like, I'm just used to it. They, like... I think sometimes, like, they don't really expect very much from you because they're like, oh, it's... I feel like they think you're in the Special Olympics category. Like, oh, don't worry, he's a white guy. Just, you know, like, he's going to go for it, you know? But, you know, those days of, like, Westerners being, not as good as the Thai, it's just over. Like, it just doesn't exist anymore, right? Like, obviously, you know, we still don't see a ton of foreigners fighting in places like Lumpini or Zidangan. But, you know, you see tons of foreigners fighting in Max Muay Thai and Thai fights and, in MX Extreme and, like, all these other big Thai promotions, you know, and you very, very quickly see them, like, on the, you know, top game world series, you see tons of stuff. You know, when you see all these, like, Kunlun fights and WLF fights and stuff like that in China, you know, and all the stuff in Japan, you know, the Western fighters are definitely, like, you know, they're moving up in a way that, like, the gap is closing, right? It's not as big of a gap as it used to be.
I would agree with that. Do you come out and do the Y Crew in Thailand?
Always. I even here, like, I don't fight, I don't agree with fighting, without it. I'm of the school of thought that, like, listen, if you're gonna do a traditional sport, you abide by those traditions. If you don't want to do those things, there's other sports for you. Right? So, if you don't want to do a light crew in a runway, go do MMA. Alright? Go do, K1. Right? Go do kickboxing. Go do something else. Go do boxing. If you want to fight Muay Thai, you do the traditional stuff. That's required by the sport. It's one of those things where, like, I think you should be, you know, definitely, like, abiding by certain traditions. Now, obviously, like, these amateurs, like, you know, you go to amateur shows in these states and stuff like that. And, you know, you can't expect that much from the amateurs, and you can't expect even that much from, like, the low-level pros, because many of them come from gyms where it's not real Muay Thai. You know, they might be fighting a Muay Thai fight, but it's not real Muay Thai, right? Like, they're going to, like, some local, like, I'm going to the UFC gym, and I'm taking Muay Thai classes, and really it's striking for MMA. and they're calling it Muay Thai. And it's, you know, like, there's a great Thai saying that's same thing but different. And it's very apparent once you, like, start moving into the more advanced rankings of the sport, where those realities lie in. You know, if you're coming from a traditional gym, yeah, you should be doing a proper white crew and run Muay, and, like, even the guys that are coming from gyms that aren't, like, super traditional, like, you know, they should be trying to make an effort into learning it. And, you know, even things like, you know, like, okay, you know, like, you're in an MMA gym and you're going to take a stand-up fight or whatever, that's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're going to continue taking those fights, you should make an effort and maybe go to Thailand and learn how to do it properly and, you know, this sort of stuff. So, yeah, anyway, long story short, yes, I always do a record in the ring.
I like that. And for people that don't understand, Muay Thai in Thailand is like almost a religious thing. It has a very steep tradition in Buddhism, and it's a spiritual experience, man. I fought Muay Thai myself, and it's one of the classiest sports I've ever had. There's a lot of respect for each other when you fight. It's not like MMA or even like kickboxing or boxing, I would say.
No. We do our talking in the ring with our fists and elbows, hands, or whatever. Not a lot of shit talking. There's not a lot of like that kind of drama. You know, the fighters often, you know, a big hug beforehand, big hug after, like, we were good. Like, we don't hate each other. We just happen to like hitting people.
Right.
And, you know, it's one of the things that I like, you know, there's a lot of respect even for me. You know, it is what it is. And, you know, some of my respect comes from those traditional aspects, like the white crew, sealing the ring, making sure you wear your monk on, and this sort of stuff as you come in, making sure, you know, you're dressed appropriately. Like, I gotta tell you, something that drives me effing bonkers is when I go to, like, amateur shows and I see some guy coming to do a Muay Thai fight wearing MMA shorts. It drives me nuts. It's like a woman big healthy. I remember one time I had a fight, I can't remember where it was, it was somewhere in the States. And this is as a pro. And I had fought a guy who came out in MMA shorts, and I swear I tried to break his leg the whole fight. just out of pure spite. And it's just one little thing. It just drives me nuts. But yeah, no, I digress.
How do you feel about cup pants coming out from underneath the Thai shorts?
What are you saying?
How do you feel about cup pants, you know, like the compression shorts coming out from underneath the Thai shorts? That's one thing that drove my instructor insane.
You know, I gotta tell you, like, I don't personally, like, I don't necessarily see a problem with it, like, as a respect thing. I think it's one of those things where, like, you know, we do it here, but, like, if you did that in Thailand, they would make fun of you. Right? Like, and I try to explain that to people, because they come out and they, like, you know, they're like, maybe it's because they feel a little silly wearing short shorts, and I get that, you know? And, you know, and I try and explain to them, I'm like, hey, you know, just so you know, you come off like you don't know what you're doing when you do that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
And, you know, even with stuff like, you know, I'm like airing out all my dirty laundry now. Like, you're going to hear all my pet peeves.
I like it.
apparently I have a lot. I don't know. Maybe I need to go talk to them. I need to get a hug or something.
Yeah, well. But, when you come in town, I got a big hug waiting for you.
Yeah, I know, right? So when it, like, when you go and you get some guy who's, like, not comfortable enough with himself, and he's got his, like, tie shorts on, they're super long, and, like, you know, but they might as well be MMA shorts because they're so big, right? And you're like, what are you even doing? Right?
Right.
Right? Like, if you get, like, a good, like, Muay Thai fighter, we roll that shit up, like, you know, because you fought Muay Thai, dude, like, shorter the better, man. I'm rolling that crap up, right? Like, I'm like, I'm getting uncomfortably short as I roll those things up, right? yeah, man. Yeah, but I don't know. It's just one of those things where, like, once you get into the sport and once you, like, start to do more and more in it, and I also think the more you go to Thailand and start to experience things in a certain way, the more that changes, right? Like, a lot of the guys that are training here and they're, like, their only experience is with their coach here, they don't really get a lot of that. And then once they finally go overseas, then they get a chance to, like, really see what it's like. And then I find when they come home and they like, they have a whole new respect for it and they change the way they think and it's just different.
Well, this is a great podcast too, because I'm post on here like the proper etiquette for Muay Thai fighting. It'd be good, but maybe we'll stop some people from, rein in some ignorance and let them know what they're supposed to really look like. I got another question I have to ask you because I'm local in the MMA scene, and I see a lot of fights. I see a lot of kickboxing fights. Why are the fucking Canadians so good and kicking our asses all the time?
So, one more time?
Why are the Canadian kickboxers and Muay Thai fighters so goddamn good? In America, it doesn't seem like our levels are very even.
So, what it is we have had it longer. That's the real story, right? So, you gotta remember that, like, Muay Thai, in regards to, like, real Muay Thai, is still pretty new in the States, right?
Right.
So, and really, for it to be, like, acknowledged as its own thing, even, is still pretty new, right? And there are very few places in the States where they're like, no, we're Muay Thai fighters, like, we're a Muay Thai gym, this is what we do.
Yeah,
whereas in Canada, it's very normal to have like a Muay Thai gym and like to be a straight up Muay Thai fighter, and that's just what you are. And we tend to have very, very good Muay Thai. We have a lot of Canadians who fight in Thailand and fight in the big name arenas. We've had plenty of WMC and WBC champions over Canadians. So it's more of a like what we just tend to be good at, right? Now, if you take a Canadian and you toss him in against an American wrestler, you watch how we get fucked up.
You definitely have the wrestling. Except for GSP.
It's just a difference in like, okay, what's available in your country, what do you tend to be good at? We tend to be very good at our Muay Thai. Not everywhere. It depends on where you're from. But in general, we do tend to be very good at our Muay Thai. Now, again, you take our wrestling, and you take a good Canadian wrestler and you put them up against a good American wrestler, it looks like a real Olympian beating up somebody from the Special Olympics. It'll be bad, right? And, you know, it's just one of those things, right? Like, we just don't have the same emphasis on it. We don't have the same build up in our schools, right?
Right.
I lived in for a long time, right? And I lived in small town Utah where like wrestling was a religion. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Like where our town shut down for wrestling. Like literally it was like a ghost town, tumbleweeds going in the street. Like shut down. Right? Like we had so many state wrestling champions out of our little town, it was ridiculous. Like everybody and their dog became an NCAA All-American, like, Div 1 guy. Like, everybody. That's just what it was. Now, you take those, like, listen, if I took a junior high school kid from our town and I put them up against a college-level wrestler from here, they'd get mangled. They would look like a slaughter. like that grown-ass man from that college would cry like a baby. Like, it'd be horrible. But, at the same token, you do the same thing the opposite way around with Muay Thai, and you get the same results, right?
Yeah, we've been seeing the same results over and over again. We've had medium to okay level success in MMA, but we're getting smashed in kickboxing, and our stand-up definitely looks not as crisp when you're matched up against a good Canadian striker. Those guys from your gym and Bazooka's gym especially, have been kicking our teeth in. They're tough over there.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, again, it's, you know, the difference in, like, the genealogy, I guess, of the gym, right? Where the guys are coming from, what the background of the gym is, this sort of stuff, right?
Yeah, it's definitely not classic Thai. It's definitely more that, more athletic-style kickboxing, moving, not such heavy kicks, or, you know, just that flow.
Well, you know, Bazooka Joe, like, I wouldn't really consider, like, him a really good Muay Thai guy, like, a classic Muay Thai guy.
Right.
He's more of a kickboxer, right? And, you know, you can definitely see the difference within his fighters and even in him, right? So I can see how that translates into MMA very, very well.
Right.
So, yeah. It's like, real classic Muay Thai does not translate into Muay Thai or into MMA very well. You have to adjust.
For sure. You guys are some of the best in the world at adjusting to it. Do you know Dan Cox?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he's the one that hooked me up with you and, what do you know about him? I know he's going to be commentating these fights. Is there any way for us Americans or Canadians to order these fights for your world championship?
Yes. So we're actually like talking to the pay-per-view people like right now. Like Dan's probably on the phone with them as we speak. So I don't have the answer for you right this second.
Okay.
But I'll have the answer for you by the seminar.
Awesome, man. And then when you let me know, I'll tag it in this on Facebook. And then everyone can just come back here and click on this and they can find it. I'll be when I see it, man. But we'll try and get you some more buys, too.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Yeah, man. The more people we can get to watch it, the better. Like, we really want to start kind of bringing high-level Muay Thai like, back here. Like, I know we're going to have this one fight in Thailand, and then we're planning on throwing like, 3 or 4 more events like in America. So I think one we're even talking about maybe even doing it in Buffalo.
Hell yeah.
So we're working on it.
We'll be there to support you if you do that. Even that close, you know. Even Canada, we can come watch. It's not that far. It's just right across the bridge.
Well, you know what the issue is professional Muay Thai is actually illegal in Ontario.
Oh, is it still legal with a stupid commission? God damn it.
It's really weird. Like, they can have pro MMA. I can mount some dude, choke the shit out of him and elbow him on the ground with forearm gloves, but I can't have a Muay Thai fight. Like, please explain that to me. I don't get it, but fuck it.
They made jiu-jitsu illegal for a while, too, man. Man, your commission is out of control.
In all fairness, it was because the jiu-jitsu guy didn't cross their T's and dot their I's properly.
Right.
So, there was a bunch of changeovers when it came to, like, our amateur athletic laws, okay? And what happened was they had to make a bunch of changes. So what happened was with the kickboxing is we have 2 different organizations here in Ontario. So you have Kickboxing Canada, or CAS, as we call it. And what that is, that covers light contact, that covers low kick, that covers K1, okay? So that's kickboxing, that's different, okay?
Right.
Then you have Muay Thai Ontario, and they cover Muay Thai. So here, that's separate, right? So I know, like, some people are like, kickboxing Muay Thai is kind of the same thing. No, they're completely different. So we have a kickboxing organization sanctioned by the province, and we have a Muay Thai organization sanctioned by the province. Now, the thing was we didn't have a jiu-jitsu organization that had their shit together enough that they could present something to the provincial government, right, to be able to have the or now since then they've gotten their stuff together and they're all good and now they're fine.
Yeah, they had the Ontario Open not too long ago. That was pretty
good. But at first it was a major issue, and the reason why is because there wasn't a legit organization that could go to the government and be like, okay, these are the rules. This is like how instructors are going to be like appointed, like, you know, like, this is what's going to happen. This is how the judges are going to happen. This is how the organization of everything is going to happen. This is how it's going to be safe and all this other stuff. So they had to go and show the structure of it to the government and, like, show them as, like, they were just a bunch of lunatics choking people.
Right. What are your feelings about the government jumping in with, you know, combat sports and jiu-jitsu and even amateur athletics? What do you think about all that?
You know, I mean, obviously you've got the American perspective, and then you have the Canadian perspective, and they're not always the same, right?
Right.
You know, so in America, like, I know you guys are like, F off, like, you know, this is our thing, you know, government go away, right? But that's not the Canadian way, right? And, like, the thing, like, what our rights are and what your rights are, although sometimes similar, they are very different. So it's one of those things where, like, some of the things that work in the States, although it would be really nice to have here, it just it just doesn't work here, like, because of our political system. So it's one of those things where I don't like it because it's a pain in the ass and it obviously affects me. Like, I've had 120 professional fights and I've never fought at home. So to me, that's really irritating, right? When I'm fighting, you know, for the biggest world titles, you know, in the world, and I'm fighting big name guys, like, you know how much I would have rather have had this fight in, like, Toronto or, like, some casino here in the falls where, like, all of my students and my family could come? Like, that'd be awesome. But it's a pain in the ass, and, like, they make it as difficult as possible for you. It really genuinely feels like the Canadian government is out to get combat sports. Like, I mean that genuinely. They make it as difficult as possible. The amount of money that you have to put out to have a professional fight here is ridiculous. Like, I know, like, Americans are always like, oh, the state commission, you're, like, out of control, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, dude, trust me when I tell you, you guys are not doing a shit. Okay? And I mean that genuinely, because I've dealt with a bunch of state athletic commissions in the state, and, like, on average, they're expensive, but they're very reasonable. Here in Canada, it's, like, a shit show. Like, they try and make it so expensive and so hard that only the major organizations can do it. And even the amateurs, like, oh my gosh, like, because, like, you know, I used to, like I told you, like, I lived in the States for a while, right? So, you know, in the States, like, let's say you're going to fight for the USMCA, right?
Right.
Or you're going to fight for USMCA or the WKA or whatever. Okay. You're going to pay your measly yearly fee. All right, you're going to make sure you got your medicals done, and then you're good to go, man, basically.
Yeah.
Right? You can fight anywhere on any of those shows for the whole year, and it's not a problem, okay? There's no drama. There's no bullshit. Okay, yeah, maybe if you want to go do some big tournament, there might be a slight fee. There's not really that much, right?
Right.
Here, holy dude, like, I swear to God, like, the guy that runs kickboxing in Canada, like, dude, I'm pretty sure our gym alone put his kids through college. Like,
man.
I don't even know how he sleeps at night. Right? Like, I think it's horrible how they do things. And partly it's because of how I was brought up as a kickboxer, as a fighter, versus how I see my students and the people I coach are coming up, and it boggles my mind how they even put up with it. So I'm like, you know, if you guys all just were like, no, then they'd have to adjust because they'd have no money coming in.
Right. That's you know, but, man. And not only that, it costs you on the back end too, because just think about how many tickets you could sell at home, and you're not getting all those ticket sales because no one's going to fly across the country to watch you really, besides for your really close friends and family and teammates, you know? Like,
you know, man, like, I'll tell you that, like, I got some pretty loyal people around here, you know, like our gym here in Canada. Look, I fought in New York City. You have an amazing group of people who flew to New York to watch me fight. Right? Like, even now in Thailand, like, I'll have at least 100 people will show up just to watch me fight in Thailand.
Right.
You know, and it's really cool because I've fought in so many different countries and I have a fan base in a bunch of different places that, like, it's nice. You know, like, when I go fight in Ireland, like, I have Irish fans. You know, when I fight in England, it's cool because I've got English fans. You know, when I fight in Africa, it's cool because I've got African fans. And those people will come and watch me fight. And that's great. I just, you know, sometimes I just wish I could fight at home where, like, my dad can come once. You know?
Yeah, or you could sell, you know, like 1,000 tickets at, you know, whatever percentage you get, or 10,000.
Yeah.
Or have sponsorship and walk down the street and everybody knows who the fuck you are, you know? That's part of
what
the fight for, you know?
Dude, like, I can't even tell you, like, how surreal it is to go from, you know, a country where, like, you go and, like, I walk around and people are stopping, taking pictures, and, you know, I'm fighting on TV and people know who I am and it's a big deal. And all of a sudden, I come home and nobody could give a fuck.
Right.
You know? It was so even my students, they don't even realize. Like, it's hilarious. I come back and I'm like, yeah, this is cool.
You know? It's so sad.
Yeah, it's so cool.
It's like earning potential, you know what I mean? We only have such a short window to fight in, and it costs you money just because some commission somewhere decides that they don't want to have it in your country, you know? It sucks.
Yeah, man. It's very frustrating.
Speaking of that, is there any way that I heard from Dan Cox that maybe you're looking for sponsorships or some kind of support? Is there anything
that
money could do to help you? I mean, I have a lot of promoters that listen. Maybe we can get something for you. I don't know.
Hey, you know what? Anybody who might be willing to sponsor either a fighter or the event, they can contact either Dan Cox or myself via Facebook or Instagram, and we can talk. I know they're looking for some more event sponsors. Like, for example, like you could sponsor like a corner or something like that. You know, where we have like your company's logo in the corner. You know, and this is going to be, you know, broadcasted live and televised, and it's a major world title event. There's actually going to be a WBC boxing event at the same time as well. So there's going to be my fight, which is a world title fight, and then there's actually a WBC intercontinental title or something like that for boxing on the same event. So whatever company would get exposure with both things. And then obviously you could sponsor me, and I could have your wonderful company's logo on my backside, and you know, and then that would be very visible as I need somebody in the face.
Awesome.
So please, you know, any help is more than welcome. It's always you're a fighter. It's always an issue trying to find support and help and, you know, and I try and do as much as I can for my sponsors, but it's always hard to find them, you know?
Yeah, I'm a sucky fighter, so I don't need sponsors. Give him some money, man. Like,
I know.
But he's a world champ, man. It's tough. It's tough. We can't fucking fight at home, man. That bothers me a lot.
Dude,
I hate that shit.
Dude, yeah, just tell me that. It's my life. I mean, even trying to fight basic stuff, like, dude, I'm fighting for a world title, the biggest world title in my sport. And I'm worried about travel funds and like that kind of shit just to get there.
For a regular person, just think about this. So let's say I have to work. I have to get my visa. I have to fly to another country to work for like 2 days, fly back. All that cost is on me. I got to pay other people to come with me to help me do my job. And then if I don't do a good job and I lose, I probably lost money, you know, and it just sucks that you have to fly so far and do so much to do these fights.
Yeah, man, like, even you, like, you know, I go to companies and they're like, you know, I try and explain to them, I'm like, I need some help so that I can represent my country. You know, like, I want to be able to represent my country and my gym and the people around me and, you know, and not have to, worry about some basics, right? And
all right, listen to this guy, Eddie Cunningham. Eddie Cunningham, I know you got some money. Why don't you send some over his way? There you go. He's one of my fans. He always posts and he's looking for people to sponsor, so we'll put him on
the spot. Please. help me. You know you want to. Yeah, man. So, you know, you guys will get a chance to kind of see what I'm all about here next Friday. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things where, like, it's one thing to hear me talk, and it's another thing to actually, like, be there in the room with me and, like, feed off of my energy, and to be able to, like, kind of, I don't know, feel the love, for lack of a better term, because, like, you know, I really love what I do, and I love helping people, I love coaching, I love teaching, so, you know, it's really cool when I get a chance to come out and kind of show people different stuff that maybe you guys have never had the opportunity to learn before. So you get a chance to come and see what I'm all about and get a chance to like pick my brain when it comes to other fight related stuff. And
the cheapest hell is $40, right? $40?
$40, man. $40
Eastern Hill Mall. Come check it out.
Super yeah, easy pretty easy.
Hell of a nice facility. Man, we'll be there.
Oh, dude, have you been in the Williams World facility?
Yeah, I was over there a couple of times training with some of the other kids' coaches. I teach the kids' coaches, and before I was fighting, some of them were rapping with me a little bit, so I've been over there a couple of times. I always walked by. I thought the thing was awesome. I've been over there. I'm pretty sure I came to one of your seminars before, actually, a long time ago when it was
cool. It's actually really funny. Like, I remember the first time I walked in there because it's all like super white in there, right? And I was like, oh, and it's funny because I looked at my coach came out with me, right? And I looked at him, I'm like, oh, this is going to end bad. And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, the mats are white. And he's like, yeah, I'm like, they're not going to be for long.
That's the best.
You know, and but they're all just awesome people. Like, I've always had such a good time there. Like, just Carol is always taking great care of me, just a wonderful lady.
Yeah, she made sure that I was making sure that I got you on so we could plug this. She gave me the call on Monday to make sure I got you on. I was like, yeah, I'll do that. It was my fault. I should have done this a long time ago. I was trying to have you on earlier, but it was my fault, not your fault. You were on time. I was late again today, but I appreciate you coming on, man. I appreciate the time. I'm going to plug the shit out of you going to Western America in May. And Old Pursue, and Nick Dodge is a hell of a guy. Hopefully he's there too. I actually fought Nick Dodge.
Mm-hmm.
I actually fought Nick Dodge. I fought Nick.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I love the guy, man. We're, we fought, and lots of respect. This is the Thai way.
Yeah, man. Cool, man. Hey, listen, I gotta, are we done? I don't know.
Yeah, we're just saying goodbye, really. I'm going to pause it, and then we can say our goodbyes, and then we're done. All right. Right at the Caveman's Corner. Going to give Rich Mitchell a quick call and talk about Ground Force Fights right now.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on, Mr. Mitchell? How you feeling?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Oh, I'm always great. We got no Ray today because Ray's getting ready for a fight that I think you know about. So he's in.
Oh, nice, yeah. That's good. That's all right.
Have you been looking at the Caveman's Corner page?
I haven't been on there recently.
Oh, man, there's pictures of me training Ray and he's just laying there. I had to give him CPR to get him back to life. So I'm ready to go.
Hopefully get some there and push some work real quick then.
Yeah. So, you got a great show going on. It's going to be at the Tavy Downs, the casino. It's going to be outside. It looks like it's going to be an amazing night. It's definitely going to be an amazing show. Can you talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, man. I mean, this thing is going to far surpass any show I've done so far. We put together some solid matchups. The night looks like it's, maybe a little bit of flurries there, a little bit of rain in the forecast, but nothing we can't work through. And, I'm just excited, man. There are some fights on the card that I'm more excited to see than I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, you put together a great card. You had a couple of dropouts, but everyone you replaced made the card even better, to be honest with you. From the top to bottom, the card's great. Go ahead.
Yeah, we did. We lost some fights, but we rematched some guys. We booked real heavy in the beginning, and we lost quite a bit, actually more than I expected on this card, but we're still in about the 15 fight range.
Yeah, man, it's crazy because I'm doing the write-ups for, not the write-ups, but I'm doing my notes for the fights, and man, there's a lot of great fights going on. I'm learning a lot of great people. You got judo black belts, Brazilian jiu-jitsu blue belts, some great fighters all over the place. Every fight looks amazing. You're starting the card off with a David and Goliath fight with Gray Hendershot with the best hair in jiu-jitsu against Zach. I don't even know how to say his last name. I'm not trained with the fuck, but he's a giant dude. Uh-huh. How'd you
Sikarski, yeah, Zach Sikarski. Yeah, that fight, we had Gray. We had Gray against Jordan Pressinger, who was another brown belt, very accomplished brown belt. Jordan had some prior engagements and, had to pull out. I've been searching for a month for a replacement. Nobody wants to roll with Gray. Zach, stepped up and said, hey, I don't care if he's a brown belt. Let's go. I mean, this one's going to be a little different. This is going to be a no-gi match. But still with 1 10-minute period, that's it. Yeah. Submission only.
And Zach is one giant motherfucker, if you don't know.
Oh, he's a big boy. Yeah, he's a big boy, man. Oh, yeah. He's he fought on our last turn in July.
Yeah, he's athletic as fuck, too. He can do a full split.
Yep.
I trained. That dude hurt me on Monday training for this fight, so you better do good.
Yeah.
Then you're going into the main card. Can you talk a little bit about the main event and work your way down a little bit? And we got to talk about the Ray Harris fight, of course.
Yeah. So the main event is probably the fight that makes me the most excited in, honestly, in many years, pro or amateur. Yuri, the Russian polar bear Panferov, he's coming from New Haven, Connecticut, or North Haven, Connecticut. He's 2-0 against Tom Shelby right here in Leroy. Tom is a stud. He's 2-0 as well, 6'7". These guys, I mean, Yuri, they're both blue belts. Yuri's an accomplished Muay Thai fighter. He won the New England Golden Gloves. Tom's karate is phenomenal. I can't pick it, man. I can't pick this fight.
It's going to be a great fight. I don't think it's going to go three rounds. It's three rounds, right? Because of the commission now? Three rounds?
Yeah, it's only three rounds. I've tried to run through this fight a ton of times in my head. I can't see either one finishing the other one, but I can't see either one going the distance.
Yeah.
So, it's nuts, man. It's going to be awesome.
I think either Shelby knocks him early or Panferov submits him in a second, man. I think it's over by the second. Not to waste your money. It's going to be exciting, I think, five.
Oh, that's all right. I mean, whoever wins is, you know, it's an accomplishment. You know, whichever one of these guys pulls out the win, it's a huge, huge feather in the hat.
Both of those guys are going on to pro contracts if they're interested in going that far. They both got talent.
Oh, without a doubt. I know I've spoken to Yuri. Yuri definitely wants to go pro. Tom, I'm not sure. You know, he has a career and a family, and, you know, we'll see what he wants to do. But he very well could go pro if he wanted to.
Yeah, just the improvement from one fight to from his first fight to his second fight is phenomenal. I can't wait to see him. You know, it's going to be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And
yep.
No more novice rules, right? Now it's ground and pound for them?
Yes. I'm excited for that, yeah.
Oh, my God. So, great.
So, yeah, well, I'll just go down. The co-main event is Tim Kronk. He's 3-0, killer heavyweight, coming out of Kingston, Ontario, Canada. So he had an opponent drop. I got legitimately 14 people, local guys and non-local guys, 9-0, 7-0, 6-0. Every single guy in the top 10 in the Northeast said no to Tim. Had 14 guys say no, they don't want to fight him.
I wouldn't want to fight him either, dude. He's a fucking
no. So I found a kid that we're bringing in from West Virginia, Chris Miles. He's, I think he's 6-1 in tough man competitions. He's got some amateur boxing background. So he's been around. He's just lost a lot of weight and got himself down into the heavyweight division. And he's a big puncher too, so this fight could be knockout of the night, or who knows? I mean, fight of the night. Both of them have solid chins, so
they swing. Well, at least Tim swings and knocks people out, dude. So we'll see.
He's so strong, man. He's so strong.
Don't lie to the fans. This one's not going out of the first, probably.
I don't think so. But you know, like I said, I think it's whoever lands him first. The first clean combination. I don't know if it's going to be one shot that'll knock these guys out, but I think it's two or three, and then somebody's going to sleep.
Yeah, that's a great fight. And the one not to admit. Don't go get any food during this fight.
No. So next one down the line, 185-pound champion Matt Nordstrand is coming back. He's going to be fighting Brad Vargason out of Viking MMA out in Auburn. These guys, you know, Matt's guy, this is his fifth fight. Brad's, I think, is his 10th or 11th fight. Both good strikers. Matt is good on the ground, you know, but Brad's takedown defense is very good, so this one's exciting, too.
Matt's got some gorilla grips, dude. He gets on your neck, dude. It's over. It's a wrap.
And he's got giant hands, too. His hands are super long, so I think that's part of his grappling.
I see.
But he's subbing, from what I'm hearing, he's subbing purples and browns on a daily basis. So.
Dude, you got, like, his squeeze is something phenomenal. If you don't understand jiu-jitsu and you think you've had someone squeeze your neck before, when a real guy with a real squeeze squeezes your neck, it's a fuck world different than some, like, guy that thinks he knows how to choke. It's
right.
Worlds different. And, dude, he finishes people from spots that you shouldn't get finished from, so his squeeze has got to be off the charts.
Yeah, definitely. He's pretty good off his back, too. His jiu-jitsu is very good.
Don't sleep on that. So, it's going to be a scramble fight, but it's going to be ugly, and it's just a caveman kind of fight. There's going to be blood all over the guy, and I love this fight. This is a great match.
I like that. Yeah, that fight's got all the makings for fight of the night, man.
Yeah, that would be my favorite fight of the night right now. I mean, the other two are going to be finishes of the night, probably. This one's going to, I personally would pick this one to be fight of the night.
Yep. So the next one on the list, we got our super heavyweight title fight. Man, these guys are big, smashing heavyweights. John Marconi, another guy from Kingston, Ontario. These Canadians are big, strong guys. He's going to be fighting a fairly new guy to the sport, Travis Streeter. He's coming from Mohawk Valley MMA. Down in like Herkimer or somewhere over there. He's a bigger guy. Super, super athletic, man. I mean, looks to be deceiving. He's very, very athletic. He subbed this guy not long ago, I think in January. Cage Wars took him down and submitted him. So this one, John's hands are heavy. We just saw John win the title out in Rochester in April with a vicious knockout. So we know his hands are heavy. Travis has got good jits. John's got very good jits as well. So this is a good fight. I don't think this one goes too much out of the first round.
Those super heavyweights don't really get out of the first round too often anyways. You have the cage reinforced. Is someone going to go out the door?
Oh, yeah, well, man, that ain't going to happen, I think. But
I would love to see that. That will make YouTube forever, dude. Ground Force fights will be on YouTube for the rest of your life. Although that's probably
I think we'll be on YouTube hopefully without somebody going out the cage door. But
right, for sure.
Next fight, our lightweight title fight, Mark Murray, who's on like a 10-1 run in the last 14 or 15 months, against Burt Forney. He's a 10-fight vet. So this is going to be this fight's tricky. It's going to be good. Both these guys have been in there with the toughest guys in New York State. In the Northeast, and just gritted it out. So it's gonna be. I think this is gonna be a gritty, nasty fight. And
dude, this is
that's a pick'em too, man. That's a good fight.
That's a good matchup because Mark Murray. You give the stand up to Forney. He's scrappy everywhere, dude. I seen him back in the TNT days, but he can grapple, man. And that's kind of been Murray's weakness. So it's like a great matchup. This is the MMA math doesn't really work out, but it's going to be a great fight. You know, like this guy could beat that guy, but when you put these two guys together, they both have weaknesses, and they both, like their weaknesses fill into each other. So someone's going to get a finish, I think, in that fight. I'm excited.
Yeah, I definitely think so. Yep. next fight on the card, Ben Horton. This will be his third fight. For Ground Force fights, lost the title fight to Nolan Brandt in a tough fight. Nolan just got a little bit better of him in the end of the fight against a new stud kid coming up through John Piersma, who's 2-0. He's rolling out of Rochester, New York, and Bone MMA, Synthesis BJJ, Peer Boxing. This kid is cross training everywhere. He's hitting all the gyms that he needs. This is an exciting. I keep saying it, man. I'm excited for all these fights. This is a good fight too.
I don't know too much about these guys, but I'm looking forward to this one too. Anything that you say is good. Like we talk off the air too. This is not just like where we do this on air. I trust Rich's opinion. He's not really a bullshitter, dude. He'd be like, this fight's only okay. But like he's pumped for all these fights and for this one in particular. I don't really know these two guys. I know anyone coming out of Bone MMA is tough, man. Those guys are fucking vicious down there. So I'm looking.
Yeah, did you see Jake's last fight?
I didn't see it. I mean, I messaged him. Great job, dude. I know, dude. That guy was tough. I was supposed to fight that guy twice. Tough southpaw, good wrestler, man. I knew that was gonna be a great fight. I wish I would see that one. You got that one on film anywhere?
I'll get it to you.
Yeah,
I'll
love get to it see to you.
That's one of the highest paced big action fights. He actually was a co-main event on the John Gotti card that they just had maybe about a month ago.
Yeah, dude, he's phenomenal. But Jacob's really like come a long way since like I first started seeing
him. Man, and his chin is crazy, man, in this fight. Wait till you see the fight. I don't want to spoil it for you, but wait till you see the fight. It's nuts.
Yeah, he did post a lot about it, and I've seen his girl post like a lot about it, about how his heart. So I can't wait to see it, man.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. He's definitely his heart. They're training all the time, man. They're training every day down there.
You see the face, if you were
friends with Jake on Facebook, just look at the training, how often they're training. He's there like twice a day, at least, in that gym alone.
Oh, two or three times a day, 6 days a week minimum.
Yeah, that's it. It's nuts.
And that's just at his own place. He's also up here boxing and different places, cross training as well, and then going up the Watertown to Baron Jiu-Jitsu, and they're around, man. These guys, they're working at it.
That Curtis is a stud down there with them guys, man.
Curtis is awesome, yeah. He's a very accomplished black belt as well.
Hell yeah. I didn't mean to get you off the card, man. Let's keep going.
Yeah, so the next fight is the big one you were talking about. We got Alex the Man Carroll. Woo! This is a grudge match, I think. These guys have been wanting to fight for a little while. And then we got Ray the Latin Lover Harris, or whatever. I'm not sure what his nickname is.
But, Burger King, man. Fat Burger King.
hopefully. So, these guys, this is going to be a good fight to watch. Both of them, I think, genuinely dislike the other ones. I think, some family stuff was brought up, and yeah, Ray, things that probably shouldn't be said.
Ray talked some shit about his girlfriend, his kids, all kinds of stuff. Alex called I would be pissed.
That's a recipe. Yeah, that's a recipe for getting your face kicked in, I think. But we'll see what happens, man. I'm excited because I think they're both passionate about beating the other one, and I think they both don't want to lose to the other one more than they want to win. So,
and Ray knows, I think
they're just going to go and lay it all out there.
Ray knows if he loses this fight, he will never hear the end of it for as long as he's podcasting with me.
I mean, it's going to be good.
Every week for the next 20 years, he's going to be sitting across from me. I'll be like, hey, remember the time you lost to Alex Carroll?
And he's going to ask for a rematch right away, and Alex is going to say, nope. Yeah. Right, I'm good.
Oh, he's going to say, yeah, I'll show up like Ray did.
Oh, dude.
Oh, shit.
So, the next one, another heavyweight fight. So, this one is interesting because we got a 1-0 guy, and we were earlier in the conversation, we're just talking about Zach Sikorski. He lost his MMA debut against John Boyle, who is a very, very good kickboxer.
Right.
He's coming out of Castro County. So, John Boyle is actually fighting Marcus Dunn, who lost in a fight of the night to Josh Stewart in July. From what I hear, Marcus has been working on his hands. His hands are lightning fast for being 265, 270 pounds. And his wrestling is phenomenal. So, let's see if John shut down Zach's takedowns. Let's see if he can shut down Marcus and keep it on his feet, and then really see where it goes from there. I definitely don't see this one going out of the first round.
Yeah.
These are heavyweights that throw big, big hands.
That Castro Cone's kid is tall. I didn't know anything about him coming into the fight with Zach, and I was
neither did impressed,
man. I knew Zach, and I didn't think that was going to happen, man. So, I was very impressed.
Yeah, from what I heard, I mean, I didn't hear much. I mean, Angela just said, here's this guy I got. And then when I had to call him to show up the weigh-ins, and he's like, oh, shit, man, weigh-ins? What do you mean? That's tomorrow. I'm like, dude, you better get here right now. He tried to pull a Mickey Gaskin on me, man. No, he did.
Yeah, at least he didn't poop himself. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So, but he definitely is informed of the weigh-ins time for this one, so he'll be there. Marcus will be there. They'll square off, and then Saturday night we'll get to see him smash each other.
Hey, I just want to say one awesome thing about your wife, by the way, who had to go get Mickey. Your wife must really love you to pick up Mickey Gaskins and take care of him for that fight. So if you have and Rich's wife or his sons, just, man, it's a work of passion, a family passion to put the show together. Always, if you don't, whether you like Rich or not, make sure you always give some respect to his wife and his kids. They do a lot for the show and for MMA in this community, man. So always
give some love. What do you mean, whether they like me or not? Everybody likes me, I think.
I don't know.
I mean, there may be a select 60 or 70% of the population that dislikes me, but I'm okay with that, man. As long as I'm putting on good fights and the fighters like coming there, that's all that matters to me.
I'm gonna say anyone that has a rival promotion anywhere in the area probably doesn't like you because you do a great job, man. And I work with all these guys, so I have a working relationship with almost everybody in the area, but of all the people I work with, man, I think you're the best. I'm not saying that because I work for you. I mean, I work with other people too, but I think you're the best.
I appreciate that, man. That's what I strive for, man. I don't strive for recognition. I strive for people, liking the show, really. That's what it comes down to, man.
And so, your shows are great, but the way you take care of the fighters and the way you look out for the fighters, that's what I mean the most by that. And like I'm always for the fighters, dude, you know, like, you know, you know how it is when you're a fighter and
sure.
you're about promoters.
Yeah, of course.
You always take care of the guys, man, and you do a really good job, and you've always taken care of everyone that I've ever seen, man. So I just want to make sure that you get recognition for that. And it's an important thing, you know. Don Lilly used to be like that. He could be a little cheap with the fighters sometimes too, but he always looked out for him. But man, you're always there for everybody, dude. And I got one more fight that I'm really excited to see. I've patted you on the back long enough, dude. You're a great guy, but not that fucking great. Jesus Christ, fights are what it's about.
Yep.
Fucking Max Dorn fight against Bonner could be a really,
dude,
really good fight.
So I don't know much about Max. I did see his kickboxing. I saw the tape of his kickboxing fight. Man, that kid's good. So I think Bonner on his feet is quick. So this is that's going to be a really good fight. Typically, the flyweights don't disappoint. You know what I mean? They're light. Typically, they're not big enough and strong enough to knock them out. So it's going to, man, that could be played tonight as well.
That's a
slide
fight
in there.
Man.
Yep, that's up there in the top two or three for fight of the night.
It sucks that they have novice rules. Max got a ton of Muay Thai fights, and he's blue belt in jiu-jitsu. Bonner's a white belt in jiu-jitsu, but he's been rolling at Western New York MMA. Man, I roll with him. He's a tough dude. His stand-up is great. Both these guys are scrappy. I've been training with Max since Max like 14 or 15, dude, since he's a little tiny kid. I know that kid can fight. This is a great fight. It's tough for me because I know both these guys. I'm friends with them both. But, man, both these guys have that fire that can make this a great fight.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be good.
Or it's going to be a sleeper, and they're going to be hugging each other on the ground because it's novice.
Yeah, that's always a possibility, man, but I don't think so. Both have been in there. You know, both have been in the grind, and they know what's going to happen.
Both
so I don't think it's going
to
be that boring.
Like to make people bleed.
Yeah. another fight on the card. And actually, I'll tell you what. Let's tell you a story about this Brendan Kennedy here. This kid, I watched him fight in April, I think, or May, or whatever it was. He looks like a little baby, man. He comes in the cage, he barely just turned 18, and he obliterates this dude. I mean, oh, man. So, I think Kleckler's got his hands full. He's fighting Steven Kleckler, and Kleckler is the hometown kid. He's the only Batavia kid on the card. You know, I think this will be his maybe third card with round four fights. I think second fight, you know, he had a guy, you know, miss his blood work and, you know, a bunch of other stuff happened that day. But, so Kleckler, you know, he's got a decent record. He's about 500. And this kid, the Kennedy kid is 1-0, so this will be a novice rules fight. But man, this kid, honestly, I think he's something to watch.
Yeah. That's tough. It's tough because I train with Kleckler now. He came over to Western New York MMA.
Definitely did.
I just work with him. I grapple with him. I don't want to talk about what happened, but I mean, we grappled, and you know, he's got some work to do on the ground, but he's coming along, man. He went to the right gym. He's doing the right things for this fight. I wish I would have got him a little bit sooner, and he joined the fight team, man. He's in there. Dude, he is a fucking tough kid, let me tell you.
And he shows up, too. That's the big thing. He shows up, and he busts his butt.
I didn't realize he was driving from Batavia to fucking Western New York MMA to train every day. Jesus
every
Christ,
day, man.
Dude, I thought he moved to the city. I thought that's why he was there. This kid,
nope.
Man, he doesn't got a lot of skill, but he's got some fucking heart, and he's getting so much better every fucking day, dude. His world's better in 1 week.
Right.
Can't wait to see
him. Yeah, it's going to be good. Next one, we got Kenny Hale coming out of Bone MMA. He was scheduled to make a MMA debut in April. It got pushed or whatever, lost opponents. We have actually lost two opponents for him on this card. So he, you know, he is 1-1 kickboxing. He'll make his MMA debut on this card. He's fighting Anthony Gugino out of Buffalo United.
That kid's Gugino is a black belt in judo, right?
I didn't know that. I knew he was a judo guy. I didn't know he was a black belt.
Yeah, he's a black belt in judo, and he's a blue belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu with, like, rudimentary striking, I heard, or beginning striking. So, man, that
okay.
could be a fucking matchup, too. Kickboxing.
And that could be good because Kenny's stand-up is good. You know, his ground game, I don't know a ton about it. I don't get down to the gym all that often, but he's solid. You know, Jake wouldn't give him the thumbs up for his debut if he wasn't solid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude, that's a great matchup, man. I love to see when you get a kickboxer against a judo guy. Because, dude, like, judo guys don't often get hit that well. But, I mean, he's training with Ferrant, so he's got to have decent tie, you know. For Ferrant to say he's rudimentary doesn't mean that he's rudimentary.
Right. Because he's looking at high-level guys, so definitely. I mean, got another West New York in a minute.
That's what Keith says about my striking, so I don't know what that guy's saying. I got a fucking 4-second knockout, Keith, so...
Yeah, I was going to say, dude, striking is all right. Yeah, it pans out once in a while, right?
Hands down, chin up. That's my style.
Yeah, we got another West New York MMA guy, Richard Zhang. I'm excited to see you back in the cage. We got a kid, and I can't pronounce his name. It's Chestful.
That Russian kid, Chester. Man. Yeah.
Chester, yep. He's, so this guy, I think he's ballpark around 40 years old. He's 1-0, gets in the gym constantly. He's coming up from New York City. So he, you know, tells me he's more of a striker, with a little bit of ground game. So I think this is a nice on the feet, stand up, smash and fight.
I don't know much about this guy. I Facebook stalked him. I friended him on Facebook. I wrote him. He didn't write me back because when I wrote him, I was like, just for full disclosure, I actually train with your opponent. So whatever you tell me, like, I'm going to use it for the commentary, but it's probably going to get back to your opponent. You know, like, I'm trying to be straight up with everybody when I do these interviews and talk with them.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
So I don't really know much about this guy, but, dude, anyone that's Russian is fucking tough. I don't know.
Russians are always tough. Russians and Canadians, man. I don't know what it is. We got to get some of them tough guys over here in the States.
I just had an interview with Anthony Ford. He's like 120-20 or something, kickboxing. He's coming to Western York MMA. We just talked about the Canadian kickboxing earlier in this podcast. So, man, like you'll hear about it a little bit, too, if you listen to this. Not that you got time to listen to this bullshit, but...
Well, I definitely will. If I'm bored someday, maybe I'll put it on.
Yeah, 2 weeks from now when your event's over and you got some time again. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I need some time, I'll be honest with you.
So anyways, that fight... So, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, last fight, I mean, which will be the first fight, we got a kickboxing bout. So...
Masters division.
Yeah, so we got coming fresh off an MMA victory. John the Reaper Gearhart, or Smoking John, or whatever you guys want to call him. He's actually, he got called out by this guy, Jason Pilkington. So Jason is in his late 40s. He was a karate guy years ago. He competed in some full contact stuff and some point stuff and you know, amateur boxing. He told me today that he's been 29 years out of the ring right now.
Damn.
So I don't see any ring rust on the guy. He's in great shape.
He's got ring dust. Got to blow that shit out.
I think both of us are not too far behind him there, buddy. So,
he hasn't been in the ring for 9 years, you said?
So he told me today. I was with him today for a little while. He said 29 years he's been out of the ring.
That's some dust, man. That's some dust.
That's something, man. So, he's definitely not taking John lightly. I talked with John recently. He's been training, actually. He's not taking Jason lightly. I think, you know, with it being a strictly stand-up kickboxing fight, I think it's going to be entertaining.
I think so, too, man. Like, people clown on Gearhart or whatever, you know, like, to disrespect him a little bit. But, dude, that guy has got, for that first minute and 30 seconds of a fight, he's a fucking dangerous man. He's got a serious power in that right hand. He dropped Mickey Gaskins, who's a fucking tough kid, you know?
Yeah, no, he definitely dropped Mickey, and, you know, everybody, I think the common theme, you know, is that, you know, they go in there and they take him down because, you know, they know his ground game is very, very suspect. So I think nobody, you know, maybe on a different level, they don't want to get tip on him because, you know, who wants to lose to a 2-15 guy? You know what I mean?
But he's got
got that punch. He definitely has that punching power. And I think that Jason definitely knows that. He's been working hard. And like I said, when I talked to John, he's been working hard. So this one, you know, Jason, it's a bucket list thing. It's a one-timer. So he's going to put his heart and soul into this fight.
I don't know, man. He's friends with Kleckler. I Facebook stalked this guy, too, you know, because I kind of do my homework a little bit for these events, even though it So yeah, like a flat.
Kleckler's not around, right? So Kleckler was over at Victory MMA.
Yeah, no, but this guy's just following Kleckler around. He's like posted about Kleckler. He's like, oh man, I gotta get in the gym, and that's from like months and months and months ago. So this dude isn't right. just like, oh, I'm gonna do it. He's been putting a fucking stoking the fire, getting ready to go. This isn't a thing.
Well, these guys, so this guy actually was at the show last July and called John out right after he beat, Dick Shit Fuckhead Joe Morrison.
Yeah.
Who, if he shows up at my event, let me just put this as a public service announcement. If he shows up at the event, he's going home missing some teeth. So let's leave that right there. Joe's a little too big for his britches. He decided to call me out at one point. And I decided, told him, I'll come to South Buffalo, I'll come to your gym, your house, whatever you want to do. And then he decided that wasn't the
team. Me and Pat missed out too. Fuck him.
We're a four fuckhead. But anyway, so the whole point was, after Gearhart, 2-15, beat Morrison for the third time. two in MMA, one in kickboxing. Pilkington called out Gearhart. So that was the whole point of my little rant there. Did I say fuck Joe Morrison? I don't know if I said that or not.
Yeah, but we can never say it enough, to be honest with you.
Okay. That's out of my system now. So anyways, yeah. So Pilkington called out Gearhart. That was a year ago, 11 months ago. And they've been planning on it the whole time. And, we made it happen and got sanctioned and, it's ready to go.
I really like these older events, these older guys fighting each other. It's so much better than when, no offense, the promoter throws these older guys to the wolves with a young killer. When you get two
that definitely happens.
When you get two guys that are similar ages and they're ready, like when you threw Murray to Gearhart, Jesus Christ.
So let's say this, though, because I don't want to be that promoter. Murray's in his mid to late 30s.
Yeah.
Okay. Jimmy Pearl is in his mid to late 30s.
The Pearl fight wasn't as bad as Mark Murray, dude. Mark Murray is a veteran, and like it was just a really bad matchup for Gearhart that time.
It definitely was. And I think John thought better standing up with Mark, though, because he was like trying to go for a heel hook or rolling into a knee bar or whatever the hell that was.
When you see Gearhart trying to put a guy on the ground, you know it's not going to be a good night for him.
No. But I give it to him, man. He was going for something different, He didn't get mounted right away, so he was working a little on his jits and, tried to pull guard or whatever, and this Murray was a little too much for him on top, so.
Yeah, here's the thing, I'm not, trying to really throw promoters under the bus. These guys are, I'll fight anybody anytime, and your card comes together, and you're like, oh, man, I lost this guy. I need someone to fight. Will you do it? He's pretty good. And they're like, yeah, I'll do it. I don't give a fuck. I can fight that guy. It's just a tough business, but, man, I don't know. We got...
It is. And, there's a lot of tough guys that talk out there right now. There's a lot of... I'll put this, too. I caught a lot of shit. I had the only guy that said yes to fighting Tim Kronk, right? Who is honestly, he's the number one amateur heavyweight prospect in the Northeast, at minimum, probably in the country. This kid is a fool. He's 3-0 for a reason. He'll go on. As long as he fights Hammy, it's going to be an all behind his number. Chris Miles is coming up, to try to change that. So we had all these, amateurs, heavyweights talking a lot of shit because we had Tim paired with a, I don't know what the guy's record was, 6-15 or something,
right.
And then every one of those same guys said absolutely not when I called them about fighting him. Definitely not. And I said, well, you wanted to. You didn't like his matchup before. Nope, I definitely won't fight him. The number one guy in the Northeast, the number two guy in the Northeast, wouldn't fight him. Number four, number five, straight down the line. So there's a lot of tough guys that talk out there, man. There's a lot of tough guys that want to fight, and that's why we book heavy in the cards, because you get all these tough guys that want to see the posters and tell my friends, hey, I'm a fighter. And guess what, man? When it comes fight week, where'd they go? They disappear. As you've seen it.
Dude, I see it. I live it every day, man. Our guys do that shit. And, I'll be...
Oh, yeah.
Beaver, man. What the fuck, Beaver? Jesus Christ, make fucking weight.
I didn't know he was that fat, dude. I wouldn't have set him up. And I'll give a shout-out to his opponent, man. Derek Noonan. busted his ass. 35-year-old dude. Cut down, got the weight, all while going to school. You know, raising his three kids, whatever. So shout out to him. You know, dude calls me, says I'm overweight. Newton is like a 24-year-old wrestler missing weight. Dude, fuck him. You know, I'm not doing a catch weight. If you can't make weight, we don't fight. So unfortunately, we lost him off the card, Newton. You know, he didn't want to take another fight. I think he was just so discouraged. So unfortunately, that stinks. Hopefully on the next card we get him. Beaver, who knows, man?
I love it.
He's a fucking tough kid, and like, he's still growing up, but you can't just keep doing that thing. It's just like Morgan, when he misses sometimes too, he misses weight. Like, we do all this shit for a reason, man, you know, and part of it is
accountable, man.
And if I'm going to call you out for some shit, I'm going to call my own guys out for some shit, and I'm going to call myself out for shit too.
I'm on the same page, you know? Man. I like to call people, call them out, I'll call myself out, you know.
Right.
Everybody's, we all have our flaws, man, but, you know, if you're going to commit, you want to make this a profession. You know, Morgan, I mean, Beaver, I don't know where he wants to go. No, Morgan wants to be a professional, you know, so, you know, we gotta get on point.
Exactly. And no one ever calls you out and they always protect you. Like, sometimes, dude, you fuck up, man, and, you know, you fucked up, but that's what it is. Now you gotta grow and get stronger, but it's a repeated thing, man, you know, we gotta make it.
Right.
You know, it makes a bad name for everybody, myself included, because I'm one of the fucking first guys to, you know, I talk to promoters, I push all these guys, oh, yeah, our guys are the best dudes, but, you know, sometimes, you know, we fuck up too, but...
Nah, but, you know what, we all do, so I'm not faulting any single person. Shit happens sometimes. I think it's just that they, as a whole, as a community, we need to start being more professional. I know it's amateur ranks, man, but, you know, at some point, you're pro career is going to come around and they're going to look at it and say, hey, do I want this guy to make his debut? But he gets out on like three different fights, man. You know, it's an Emmy, so, you know, let's pass on him and go to the next guy. So that stuff hangs out with you, man.
It does. And when you guys come up short with ticket money, too, don't do that bullshit either. Like, that's a lot of people, not just, you know. I mean,
that does happen.
That shit all the time, and our promotions deal with that shit all the time. That's one of the big things about promoters, man. Like, that money is not yours, dude. Like, you can't spend it until you give it back to the promoter. And if you feel like the promoter's ripping you off, dude, you're not forced to fight. These guys aren't telling you got to fight. If you agree to do it, dude, it's something you got to do. I know there's, I want to say this real quick. I know if some people listen to it, you think this is directed at you. It's not directed at you. It's just, it goes on. I know shit happens sometimes, but, and, like, the people that happen to make good on it. And if you make good on it, dude, that's something different, but, like, it's still your responsibility.
Yep, definitely. I mean, I think there's not an amateur promoter around that is in this. It's a full-time business, man. To be honest, we do this for love of the sport. So the money that comes in from tickets, yeah, we pay out our commissions. But really, 90% of that stuff is going to pay the sanctioning and pay the insurances, which are massive in New York State, and pay, you know, the venue and pay, you know, for the gear that we give to the players and different stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, definitely that's, you know, don't short the promoters, man, any of them. You know, nobody's getting crazy. Nobody's getting rich off this.
And Gearhart, don't fucking steal any more towels. I'm going to call you out again.
Well, we'll make sure that the hotel checks his room before he leaves so it doesn't get charged back to me.
Yeah, fuck.
And we'll go from there.
I'm sorry, this one got off the rails, man, but I like having you on, Rich. I appreciate you coming on and talking about your card. Oh, we never talked about the Zhang fight. We just we talked about the guys and we kind of zoomed around it. But Richard Zhang can fight good, man. He took Jesse Neal. That fight was crazy. Came back.
That was a good fight.
Yeah.
His striking is good. He's got good range. He's a real tall kid at 170, you know, so he's going to, or I'm sorry, they're at 185 for this one.
Yeah, middleweight.
I think there's some power in those hands, you know, on both sides. So I'm excited for that one. Man, that goes into the list of my top three for fighting night.
Yeah, that kid is so long and he's so calm, dude. I trained with him a bunch. When I was fighting a tall guy, I used him a lot, dude. And he's calm. No matter how hard you hit him, dude, he's just like, whatever. You can't tell. It's crazy.
And that's good, man. That's nice to see, you know.
Yeah.
And that comes from a martial arts background. You know, that comes from years of discipline.
And it's kind of like unnerving looking at a tall Asian guy. I know that's kind of like a bad thing to say. I'm married to an Asian guy. I'm going to say that shit, right? But dude, he is a tall Asian dude, man. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an anomaly, man. You don't see that too often.
I got to say at least one controversial thing so someone try and shut my shit down so I can get some people watching this thing.
Yeah, man. We'll make that happen.
All right, man. Well, Caveman will be there. Batavia Downs. There's links to the ticket everywhere around. If you want to put in a flyer, put Ray in because Ray probably needs to sell some tickets for Rich so we can get him back on the show.
Yeah, so yeah, groundforceflights.com, KaviaConcerts.com, get your tickets. So here's the thing. So the Batavia Downs puts on concerts every Friday night. So our weigh-ins happen to be on the first concert of the year. Mr. Eddie Money is at the Downs 8:30 on Friday. So everybody who is at my weigh-ins has a ticket to go to the show.
Damn, man, that's awesome. Also, I read something. I don't know if this is true or not, so I want to make sure it's true before I post this. If you buy a ticket to the fights, they give you $15 at the casino, right? If you turn in your ticket?
Yes. Everybody who has a ticket to the fight does get $15. Anybody who is 18 and older gets $15 in free play for the casino. Yeah, so that the casino's been, man, they've been awesome. They've been awesome. They take care of a lot of stuff, and let's all give back to the guys that give to us, you know.
So anyone that's interested, if you order a ticket online, is that will call? So you get a will call ticket when you show up, or how's that work? So you can turn it for the thing.
Well, so on the printable tickets, there'll be a barcode for the free play. And you'll just go to Players Club. We'll actually have a Players Club set up right when you enter. We're going to have two booths set up doing the sign-ups for the $15 in free play. So directly after the fights, you can go in. Also, we'll be having a after party right at the casino. We have a DJ coming in, a couple of our sponsors, Double Cross Vodka, Dean's Ranch, everybody's going to be there. So we're going to be having a DJ right there. Nobody's got to drive. You can go play some cards, come upstairs, hang out. Vice versa, we'll be there all night.
Sounds great, man. This is going to be a great show. The best show I've ever seen live was the TNT that was outside, man. And this show.
That was fun, man. That was a good one. I was judging that one, man. That was a fun card.
Yeah, this one's going to be bigger and better, and I can't wait to see it, man. And an outdoor MMA event is, if you've never been to one, dude, it's the tits. I can't even tell you how great it is. But believe me, I'm a hype guy, but I'm looking forward to this show more than I would go to this show if I didn't know anybody or I didn't have anything to do with Rich. I would still be at this show because outdoor MMA, dude, is where it's at.
It's gonna be fun.
How come I'm selling it more than you, dude? I'm like, oh man, this is so great. You're like, yeah, that's gonna be great.
Well, you just said it all. I don't want to repeat you.
Right.
You know.
Man, I appreciate you coming on the show. I know it's late. I know you got a lot of shit to do. You work a regular job and you do all this bullshit. So I got a lot of shit to do. I got to edit this whole thing too. And it's like a long one. So I got to get it done tonight. And I will talk to you soon, man. And from Caveman's Corner, coming to you live from Caveman's house in North Buffalo, we're out of here.
All right, we'll see you guys.